Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to welcome everyone here today, especially Colton and Lillian. Today, they're going to have their baptism. We share in that with their family. We welcome all of you here. It's good to see all of you. We would like to let you know that anytime we have a song, it is found in the blue hymnal, which is right in front of you. So, we have a board meeting this afternoon, right after this meeting. I know you all want to, hey, you look excited for this board meeting. I know, yeah, you're excited. Does anyone else have anything else they would like to bring before us this morning and share? Wow, this is good. Come on, Laura, you used to have a whole bunch. The cookie walk. See, I knew it was going to pop out. It is.
Before Thanksgiving, yeah. So Saturday after Thanksgiving is the crafter
sneaking. Wow, it is sneaking up. Sneaking up on us, isn't it? And then right after that is Advent. So Christmas is sneaking up. We still have some boxes. Dave.
Because of the cookie baking downstairs, Misty is the great one will be in the sanctuary this coming Friday.
Okay. Don't forget the boxes. We have plenty more, I'm told, so try to fill them up and move them along.
Gary. Brenda.
Brenda.
The boxes I'm picking up tomorrow to deliver. This is the delivery week.
This is the delivery week, okay.
So we can get them here by tomorrow.
Get them here by tomorrow, so. Okay. Apparently we have nothing else. Nice, quick. So let us stand for our introit. It's found 501.
Sing to the Lord a new song.
For he has done marvelous things.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Break forth into joyous song and sing praises.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it.
The world and those who live in it.
Let the floods clap their hands.
Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge.
He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equally.
Our God has done marvelous things. Amen.
prayer with me, please. Good morning, Lord. Our amazing November weather is drawing to an end. The leaves are down and the temperatures are starting to fall. We celebrate as Advent draws closer. This Sunday, we're blessed in the celebration as Colton and Lillian received your gift of baptism. We lift our hearts in love and adoration and praise you for your greatness. You are the great and mighty King, and all glory belongs to you. We lift ourselves and our families and our church before you, that your will be done both in our hearts and in our service. Our hearts burst with joy when we think of you. Thank you for all that you have done and everything that you will do. In the name of Jesus, we join together in the prayer you taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, the 65th chapter, and verses 17 to 25. That's page 607 in your pew Bible. The glorious new creation. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating, for I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy, and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall be the days of my people be. And my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. And then we move to the New Testament, the book of 2 Thessalonians, and it will be chapter 3, and verses 6 through 13. Now we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition that they received from you. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you, and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we worked night and day so that we might not be burden any of you. This was not because we do not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command: anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Scripture, it just goes right through my heart. Thank you for the way you do that and your dedication to that over the years. It's funny the way God works, because we were supposed to do an entirely different song this morning, and got here this morning and the piece of music that had all my chords on it was missing in action. So as I was frantically leafing through the book looking for it, this one popped out, and this is more of a baptism song. This is more about what this day is kind of supposed to be about, and it's nice to have somebody who's not just an infant here. So congratulations, but it's also an Aventura song. So what I'd like you to do is kind of just close your eyes and relax into the words of the song and sing it if you know it, okay?
Of new life.
Today, Kimberly and Wesley bring their son Colton and their daughter Lillian to the church for the sacrament of holy baptism. We rejoice in God's promises to those taking this significant step of faith. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, as God called and chose his servant people Israel and made a covenant with them, saying, I will be your God and you will be my people, so in the fullness of time, God called and chose Jesus Christ to fulfill this covenant for all. Through his birth, his life, and his death and resurrection, God has made a new covenant of grace whereby we say, I am yours and the people you have given me. Today we welcome to claim the promises to that new covenant, rejoicing that Savior Jesus Christ instituted baptism as a visible sign of covenant making. Our washing with water by the word, our habitat in Christ, crucified and risen, our bonding in water with brothers and sisters in Christ, our solidarity with those with whom he is in solidarity, and our commissioning to serve in Jesus' name.
Side. Okay. Let us hear baptism's promise and call the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me, so go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Matthew 28:18-20. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Ephesians 4. Do you desire that Colton and Lillian be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Proclaiming this covenant with Jesus Christ, do you renounce all the powers of evil and declare your opposition to a way of life in contradiction to the gospel?
Yes, we do.
Relying on God's grace, do you promise to teach the word of God to your children, to pray for and help them in every way, so that they may become true disciples of Jesus Christ?
Yes, we do.
Empowered by the Holy Spirit, do you promise to enable Colton and Lillian to participate fully in the life of the local body of the church, to do justice and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God?
Yes, we do.
And do you, as sponsors, promise to pray for and support these parents in the promises that they have made, as well as to pray for and help these children to confess the Christian faith as its own? People of God, do you promise to uphold and support Colton and Lillian in their life in Christ? If so, please say, with God's help, we will.
With God's help, we will.
God, our Creator and Redeemer, you have called us from death to new life. We thank you for your saving love in Jesus Christ our Lord, for this sacrament of grace and what it means to the church as we baptize with water, baptized with the Holy Spirit. As we speak, let it be your words. As we act, let us do your work in Jesus Christ as our Lord. Amen. Colton John Pasquella. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Colton, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord pour his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. Lillian. Lillian, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lillian Harper Pasquella. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord pour his countenance upon you and may he give you his peace. Amen. Would you like to show the church who you are? And no? Well, through the covenant of grace, Colton and Lillian are now received into the nurture and care of the Christian church. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Amen. Weeks can be funny as things go along. Thursday night, I was working on my sermon. It's about 10 o'clock at night, and my computer decided to lock up. And it told me that not only was I going to lose the sermon, but I was going to lose all of my notes and everything I could prepare. For some reason, it went back to like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I lost everything. So I looked at it as a sign that God said, start over. So on Friday, I was starting over. So I wrote my sermon and I came down here to the office and I'm working on it Friday. I click on save and it saves it to the cloud, that magical place wherever that is. I come home, we have the storm, the power goes out. Well, we don't have internet anymore. So I can't get on the cloud to look at the sermon, so I can't practice it or work on it anymore. So I was kind of frantic here yesterday trying to get everything together. And then sadly this morning, I found out that my aunt died. It was one of my closest aunts. She was like the leader of the Freemason side of the family. And I had just sent her a letter and got one from her. And she says, I'm doing well. I'm getting better every day. And well, she's doing really well today.
Yes.
She's doing really well. The sacrament of baptism declares that you are followers of Jesus Christ. And it is a public confession of your faith in and a commitment to Jesus Christ. This morning we celebrate. We celebrate the baptism of Colton and Lillian and welcome them into the family of God. They now look to their parents, sponsors, and church to teach them, to train them, and to nurture them to maturity in Christ Jesus. This morning we will be discussing disciples taking their faith public, taking it out into world, taking it out into God's world, taking it out into your world. Your part in discipling is the key part of your Christian walk. It's more than just accepting Jesus into your hearts. You're given the mission to share the gospel and to help others to grow in their faith. Although there aren't specific instructions, the Bible tells us how to be disciples, and it gives us many examples. Discipleship is defined as followers of Christ who then teach and mentor what they have learned. It is one of the final commandments that Jesus gave his followers before ascending. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Matthew 28. To do this, according to Scripture, being a Christian disciple is the process by which disciples grow in Christ Jesus and are equipped by indwelling Holy Spirit to overcome the pressures and trials of life and to become more and more Christ-like. Biblical Answers defines personal Christian growth by the following: putting Jesus first in all things. The disciples of Christ needs to be set apart from the world. Our focus should be on the Lord and how to please him in every area of our lives. We must put off self-centeredness and put on Christ-centeredness. 2, following Jesus' teachings. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That's in James 1:22. Obedience is the supreme test of faith in God. 1 Samuel. Jesus said, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me." Bearing fruit. Christian disciples should live lives, fruitful lives, displaying the fruits of the Spirit, good works, and peaceful fruit of righteousness. Hebrews 12. Technically, producing fruit isn't really your job. Our job is to abide in Christ, and the fruit will then come. 4, loving other disciples. Love of other believers is evidence of our being a member of God's family. These verses this morning show us that love is not an emotion, it is an action. In order to love, we must be doing something and involved in the process. One way to show love is to think more highly of others than we do of ourselves, and to look out for their interests. And 5, making disciples of others. Disciples multiply. One of the last things Jesus said to his disciples before his ascension was the command, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Matthew 28. This involves evangelism, sharing the gospel and urging people to repent and believe in Christ. But it also involves discipleship. Christians should be actively engaged in training people who will in turn train others. That's the pattern that we see in Jesus' ministry. He trained 11 men who spent the rest of their lives disciple-making, training others to also become disciples, and so on, and so on, and so on. A Christian disciple is one who puts Jesus first and obeys the Lord, produces good fruit, loves others, and makes more disciples. I think sometimes that we forget that we're not alone in our discipleship journey. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will be with us and he will help us. God knows that we cannot do it on our own. Stepping out of your comfort zone can be daunting, but we need to remember how important we can be in connecting and joining others in his service as God. We understand that God will use us anytime, anywhere, if we will let him. Many of us forget the importance of being examples to others. Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." 1 Corinthians 11. As disciples, we should be able to mimic Paul and to say for ourselves, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Jesus himself says that it is not easy being a disciple. I mean, he went through his crucifixion, the pain, the hardships that were involved in life being a Christian. We also know there is so much more than just suffering in our Christian walk. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Because Jesus is God, the ultimate example of discipleship, we as Jesus' disciples should strive to live as he did, sharing his message with others. We should strive to live as he did, sharing his message with others. But do we? Do we really strive? Do we strive to really do anything? Do we step out of our comfort zone? Do we step up and out to do the things that really need to be done? Or do we really just choose to do what we want to do? God will give us and use us anytime and anywhere if we let him. This isn't when we feel that we can fit God into our life or when it's convenient for us. We need to be in that here I am, send me mode. Willing, ready, willing and able frame of mind. We forget the importance of just being examples to our families, being examples to other people in church, being examples at the firehouse or at the fair or any other place around town. We are examples. I think we also forget how when starting something new or taking that first step, how important instructions are. The Bible provides the perfect guide to becoming and living a Christian life. But in our world, how many times have you tried to do or fix something when you're really not sure of the first step or even how to continue? Like fixing your constantly running toilet or changing the oil on your lawnmower or trying to remind yourself how to use that cookie maker thinger on your food processor that you only use once a year when Lori's screaming, more cookies, more cookies. The first step for most men is just to go ahead and try it. Start the project, and then when it fails, then you go looking for the directions, eventually ending up where you started and probably looking on the internet to find the answers. Well, YouTube will give you plenty of examples on how to make that cookie maker gadget thing pump out enough cookie dough correctly, or tell you what nut to loosen. But YouTube will not show others how to live a Christian way or how to live by faith alone. We have studied the series, How to Be a Disciple, over the last 8 or 9 weeks now, learning not only hows and whys in being a disciple, but the importance of stepping up and being accountable. You have been provided with a solid base for you to build off into opening yourself up and allowing God to use you anytime, anywhere, if you let him. We all need to be a living YouTube for new Christians and searchers. Reading about amazing biblical stories is one thing. Every new follower of Christ will need more than just acknowledging that a lot of great people have come before us and done a lot in the Bible and through Scripture. They will need to see it applied. They will need to see us imitating Christ to the best of our abilities by applying biblical examples to all aspects of our life. We need to be good leaders. We need to be good mentors, assisting in spreading the good news of salvation through Jesus. We need to be living examples of all who seek the gospel and want to grow in their faith. Discipling is part of the Christian walk. God doesn't ask us. God tells us, go and make disciples. Modern day evangelist Rod Parsley says, we have to take the Bible, biblical truths and start applying them in our state house, the schoolhouse, and the marketplace. We need to apply discipleship to every part of our life, to imitate Christ in our jobs, in our home, and in our church. Christian discipleship has profound social ramifications. Authentic disciples take their faith public, trying to make the world
more like the kingdom of God. In our scripture this morning from Isaiah 65, we found a powerful glimpse of the kingdom, God's dream for the world. In this passage, Isaiah says, "No more shall there be infants that live but a few days. In God's kingdom, infant mortality does not exist." Isaiah then says, "No more shall there be an old person who does not live out their lifetime." In God's kingdom, senior adults live long, productive, and healthy lives. Isaiah adds, "They will build houses and they will inhabit them." In God's kingdom, every person will live in a decent house. Isaiah continues that they shall plant vineyards and they'll eat their fruit. In God's kingdom, food is plentiful. Isaiah goes on to say that the people shall long enjoy the works of their hands and they shall not labor in vain. In God's kingdom, people get fairly compensated for their work. And people will not bear children for calamity. In God's kingdom, children thrive. And finally, Isaiah dreams of the day when the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like an ox. They shall not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain. In God's kingdom, violence and warfare are contraband. Because their kinds of social issues matter to God, they should also matter to the people of God. Individual Christians, local churches, denominations, the entire worldwide church must constantly seek ways to advance God's dream as found in Isaiah 65, both locally and around the world. This is not forcing our Christian values on other people. It's letting your personal values inform how you interact with other people and work for the good of people, regardless of their personal faith. Christian leader and activist Jim Wales often says, "Faith should be personal, but never private." While we cherish our beliefs and our relationship with Christ, disciples must also live their faith publicly, working to make God's kingdom a reality on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Would you please bow in prayer with me? Father God, Jesus asked while he was hung on the cross to forgive those who had wronged him. Everything Jesus had taught, we know he lived out. This is an example of where he loved his enemies and forgave those who sinned against him. Help us to forgive. Help us to strive to become more like Christ. Help us to, when you call, to stand up and say, "Here I am, Lord." Our definition of discipleship comes straight from your inspired word and the actions of Jesus. We know when we give our lives to Jesus, it does change our lives and our lifestyle. Help us to grow in our ambitions to imitating Christ, going out of our way to help others, and to become more like Christ in all that we do, because this is what we are called to do as Christians. We ask prayers for our church, our leaders, and the decisions before us and our future. The leaders of our country, state, our town, our denomination. Grant your wisdom, your guidance, and your protection. We lift our family unable to be with us, Rogine and Lou and George, Karen, Chip, Art, Carol. We pray for Mike Bergamo's parents, Celeste Bergamo's loss, my Aunt Corrine. We lift up them up before you, Father, and we lift up the others before you here. I open it up now for your prayers, your joys, your concerns.
Lord, I ask you to bless the person who turned my wallet into the police station this week. A lot of prayer. Derek, my oldest, is going to Baghdad for 9 months. Secret mission. My youngest is applying for college. Hopefully she'll get a
God, life goes on. Prayers that have been prayed for hundreds of years, the people change, but the prayers kind of remain the same. Father God, we pray that you hear the prayers spoken and the prayers unspoken. The prayers deep in our heart, those we're afraid to pray, for those that hurt too much. Father God, let us always remember that we're simple people. We're humble. We're lost. We're broken. We're very much in need of our Savior. We pray for your love, blessing, and forgiveness, thanking you for all that you have and will do for us. In the name of your Son, we join together in prayer. Father God, we thank and praise you for all that you do, the blessings we have, the joy of baptism, and the joy of being able to get back. In your name. Please stand. Father God, we thank you that we're able to give back to you with joy and happiness, that we're able to share back all the blessings that you've given us. We thank and praise you this day in Christ's name. Amen.
The service is ended. Oh.
around us and join us downstairs afterward as we take in the glow and blessing of a baptism in this beautiful day. Father God, we lift you up this day. We praise and thank you. May the Lord bless us and keep us, make his face to shine upon us, be gracious unto us, and grant us his peace. Go in his peace this week. Amen.
Amen. Sorry for your loss.